Want to welcome everyone to the regular board meeting of the Benton County Commissioners. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kids a little slow.
Thank you. We don't have our administrator because he's very sick and our assistant administrator is on vacation, so we feel us three can get this thing going. We have Amanda with us, so approval of minutes, please, gentlemen.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve the meeting minutes for May 7th, 2024.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Next, review agenda. Anything to add or take away? No?
I don't have anything.
No, Greg? No, no. Okay, with that, please, Amanda, the public comment spiel.
The purpose of the public comment period is to give the audience an opportunity to provide comments to commissioners regarding agenda items or other topics. It is an official on-the-record communication geared toward giving information and opinions to consider in the decision-making process. While the commissioners welcome hearing from you, please note that the public comment period is not an opportunity for dialogue with commissioners or for posing questions with the expectation of an immediate answer. Many questions require an opportunity for information gathering and deliberation. For this reason, commissioners will accept comments, but will not directly respond to comments, questions, or concerns raised during the public comment period. Audience members who wish to speak should raise your hand if called upon by the chairman, or virtual participants use the raise hand feature. Come to the podium, or virtual participants unmute your microphone when called upon. State your name and address for the record. And after speaking, write your name and address on the record sheet. Virtual participants do not complete this step. To allow every participant an opportunity to be heard, public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The chairman will interrupt when your allowed time has elapsed. In the interest of an orderly meeting, we ask that you do not duplicate comments made by a previous speaker. Instead, please simply confirm your agreement with previous statements. When appropriate, the commissioners may refer an item identified during public comments to the county administrator for further action. Please note that if a speaker intends to give commissioners any records of any kind as a part of a presentation, the records must be handed directly to the clerk of the board for distribution.
Okay, thank you. Let's start here in Kennewick, since we are in Kennewick today. Anyone, Mr. Atkins, would you come forward?
Jim Atkins, is this on? Jim Atkins, Prosser, Washington. I just have a question on the professional services contract with the building department doing business as Northwest Code Professionals. In reviewing, well, first off, that company is out of Eugene, Oregon, and in reviewing the cost, Exhibit A, it states that no work will be performed on weekends or after hours, but they do have a charge there for that. They say it's 100. So if there's not going to be if their statement says no work will be performed, then maybe they should delete that from their contract. And also, because their main office is in Eugene, Oregon, and it talks about travel time and pay here. It doesn't state that they have a local regional office, and therefore, question could be, are we gonna have to pay travel time and mileage from Eugene, Oregon, if they don't have anybody here? I know they have different places around, but I think maybe clarity would be something. Okay. Thank you.
We'll follow up with you. Anyone else wishing to come before the board here in Kennewick? I don't see anyone in Prosser. Anyone online?
Yeah, I've got Rebecca with her hand raised.
Rebecca, go ahead.
Okay. Rebecca from Findlay. And there's been a lot of concern about the Lineage fire out here still burning, and why it is, they're not tackling it more. And the thievery out here is getting increasingly more prevalent. Just yesterday, cars were stolen off of Perkins, run into somebody's fence. So those are a couple items I'd like to bring to your attention. And the Lineage fire, it's not just wood pellets, it's plastic pellets. It's affecting people's health nearby, and they're getting really antsy. That's it.
Okay. Go ahead if you have more.
No, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Rebecca, for taking the time. Appreciate that. Anyone else on? You see one? No.
I don't see anybody. Yeah. No. Online.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Next, let's move to the consent agenda. Motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion and go ahead and approve the consent agenda items A through Q.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, A. The ayes have it. Motion passes. Closed hearing for, is that Michelle who's doing that on request for zone change?
Good morning, gentlemen. All right. This is zone change application ZC 2024-001. It's an application by Courtney Rader. She's requesting to change the zoning designation of 14 parcels located east of Oak and Third Avenue in the Findlay area of unincorporated Benton County. This area is located in Kennewick's urban growth area, and recently the city of Kennewick approved a comprehensive plan amendment to change the comprehensive plan designation. This zoning request would fall in line with their reflection of a residential zoning district. Currently, the parcels are zoned light industrial, and the applicants are proposing to change that to an urban growth area residential to allow the existing homes to be consistent with both the city of Kennewick's comprehensive plan and the existing residential uses in the area. With that, the county and the planning commission recommend approval subject to the 19 suggested findings of fact and conclusions as found in the planning commission's report.
So for the benefit of the public, would you maybe differentiate between a closed hearing and a public hearing, because they're both on there?
Yes. So this is a closed record appeal hearing, and the public hearing was held by the Planning Commission. And so that was the opportunity for the public to testify. During a closed record hearing, the board can't consider any new testimony. They can just review testimony that's already been provided. At an open record hearing, such as a comprehensive plan amendments, the public has an opportunity to comment twice instead of once.
Okay, just wanted to make sure when any comments or questions are good. No, let's go ahead and have a motion then.
I'll make a motion to move that the Board of Commissioners adopt the Planning Commission's recommendations, findings, and conclusions as the board's own and approve zone change request ZC 2024-001.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the request for zone change. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay, next, two public hearings on amendment applications.
All right, the first one is comprehensive plan amendment CPA 2024-001. This is a proposal by county staff. We are requesting to clarify and amend two sections of the comprehensive plan related to the open space conservation designation. The section 3.35, we are seeking to clarify the description of what an open space conservation land use designation is, and we're clarifying that it can be held either under private or public ownership, and that the properties must voluntarily be held in a conservation easement or a land trust. Secondly, we're seeking to amend table 3.4. One moment. Which would change the implementing zoning district from the current rural lands 5-acre to a new zoning district that staff and legal counsel are working on creating, which would be called open space conservation zoning district for consistency between the land use designation and the zoning district. With that, The planning staff and the planning commission are recommending approval subject to the 7 suggested findings of fact. Do you have any questions for me?
You just covered both of those, did you? No.
Yes.
Yeah, you just covered both.
Well, this is just one. We saw one.
Okay, okay, okay. And this has come about.
This was due back when the original open space land use designation was established. Prior to both Greg and I's time, apparently the idea was to have a land use designation and a zoning district be the same. However, the zoning district was never created and the comprehensive plan reflected that. So we're changing the comprehensive plan and then we'll add the new zoning district so that that zone can be established and those uses can be allowed.
Okay, thank you. We'll open public hearing on amendment application CPA 2024-001 for the comprehensive plan use designation by Spink Engineering. Anyone wishing to give comments on this? Anyone here in Kennewick? I don't, Prosser, I don't see Prosser anymore. Anyone online?
I don't see any hand raised.
No.
Yeah, there's no one raised. Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'll ask for anyone wishing to give comment on amendment application CPA 2024-001 for comprehensive plan use designation. Okay, I'll close the public hearing on amendment application CPA 2024-001. Motion, please.
I move that the Board of County Commissioners adopt the Planning Commission's recommendation, findings, and conclusions as the Board's own approval to modify the Comprehensive Plan Amendment Request CPA 2024-001.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay. Next, amendment application CPA 2024-002.
All right. Last one. This is another comprehensive plan amendment application by Spink Engineering on behalf of the City of Benton City, seeking to modify the land use designation of 2 parcels, which are located adjacent to Benton City limits, but not within their urban growth area. They are seeking to change the current designation of rural industrial for both of the parcels to public for parcel ending in 1002, which is the larger blue parcel. It's currently a park and held in ownership by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Secondly, they're seeking to change the smaller parcel to rural remote ending in 2001, the yellow one, which is currently a single family residence with associated small agricultural uses. The Planning Commission voted to recommend approval and the Planning Division is also recommending approval subject to the suggested 11 findings of fact. Do you have any questions?
So who owns the blue parcel?
The Department of Fish and Wildlife owns the blue parcel. Okay. However, they lease it or allow the City of Benton City to operate a public park on it, which is why we would be changing it to a park.
Good.
The yellow parcel is owned by a private owner, and they also are seeking to remove the rural industrial from their rural residential zone.
Acres is that one? There's,
I believe it's 3.
3 acres.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah.
They just improved a house and did a bunch of updates on it.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll open the public hearing on amendment application CPA, that stands for Comprehensive Plan, 2024-002. Anyone wishing to testify? See anyone online?
No.
Anyone in Kennewick or Prosser, excuse me?
I don't see one either. So yeah, no one online.
No. Okay. Once again, I'll ask anyone wishing to give comments on amendment application CPA 2024-002. Not seeing or hearing any. I'll close the public hearing on amendment application CPA 2024-002. I have a motion, please.
I'll make a motion to move that the Board of Commissioners, County Commissioners, adopt the Planning Commission recommendations, findings, and conclusions as the Board's own and approve it to modify the Comprehensive Plan Use Designation Request, CPA 2024-002.
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Next is scheduled business. We have amended interagency agreement with the Washington State Administrative Office of the Courts, or AOC. Ms. Rome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I printed off a copy of the current contract and the amendment as it relates to revenue sharing. I didn't know if you wanted to see it for.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
I currently have a contract with AOC involving UGA reimbursement for services, appointment of attorneys, and court visitors. That contract runs till the June 30th of 2024. There's a clause in the contract that allows for revenue sharing, which means if other counties don't use all of their contract funds, then they can reallocate it to other courts who have exceeded their funds. What the AOC is doing from past experience with other contracts is that the deadline that they have set in the current contract does not allow for enough time for courts to gather all of their reimbursement information and provide to the AOC to know what their surplus or revenue request may be. So AOC's intent on this amendment is to extend those deadlines to give us more time to capture all of our actual billing for attorneys and court visitors. My last contract, because we followed all the deadlines, we got over $43,000 back extra over and above my contract reimbursement amount because we provided all of our data. So I expect the same again with this contract. It's just their wording is not very well outlined, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to provide all of my information regardless and hope and anticipate that I will get more monies back.
So on the verbiage, did you go back and try to modify it? Anyone go back and try to modify the verbiage?
Yeah, they don't do that.
They don't do that. You just have to speak the AOC language. Yeah. And so...
I know that, but just for the public so that they know.
I did. I did send an email to the person who was in charge of this contract, and their response was, we're just trying to extend the contract to give you more time to get all of your reimbursements in, because even though our contract ends June 30th, we still have cases running. Attorneys send their billing in way past that, but it's still within that parameter. So yeah. Just making sure we get all of the monies in as we get to get as much money back as we can.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Our experience with all the state agencies.
Yeah. It is what it is.
What law school do they go to, Ryan? Not sure. Anyway.
I know you beat your head against the wall on some of those.
Maybe have their own. I don't know. Okay. Any questions?
Or no, I'm just excited how it says fiscal impact, no impact. So okay. I see that on the budget. So thank you.
Do we need to accept? We need to do a motion to accept the amendment then?
It says it's
pass a resolution.
Do we need to pass that? Yeah.
You want to make up?
I can do this.
Okay.
Motion to pass Amendment 1 interagency agreement between the Washington State AOC and Benton County. Will that work?
Sure.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the amendments the AOC contract. With our courts, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay.
Thank you.
Membership application agreement with MMCAP Infuse and payments to Henry Shine Inc. From the jail corrections facility.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
First off, we the chief and I went and talked to Mr. Rasmussen about this, and thanks to Amanda for getting this in front of you guys in a pretty short order. Also want to thank Lisa Small for putting this together and Jeff Altman for taking a look at it. I saw him in attendance as well. This application with MMCAP Infuse is a membership application. They have a partnership with DES already for the Washington State contract for this medication. Also in with that application, we have the purchase agreement with Henry Schleen, who is the pharmacy that's going to have this medication. What this is going to do, this membership application is going to save us and the taxpayers about 18% of the overall cost for the medication itself. Unfortunately, there's only a couple medications on the market right now, and they're retail price at $2,016.52. With that 18% discount, we get them marked down to $1,653.55, which is a good savings for us. The benefit to this is in resolution 23636, that's going to end June 30th of this year, along with the resolution that I went in front of the board earlier this year, 24299, each at $292,000 a piece. We were paying for a officer with that wages, which is approximately $112,000 with benefits and everything a year, leaving $180,000 on the board. What the state HCA has authorized is a medication to be allocated out of those funds. And this is going to partner really well with the HCA reentry program that we applied for. We applied to be in cohort one, which would be a go live date of July 1st of 2025. And that's the Medicaid, Medicare billing and stuff like that. One of the requirements of that to be in cohort one is to have a 30-day medical supply of medications upon release. Well, this medication is a 30-day medication, so it's just going to bridge that and allow those funds to come in. I don't know exactly how those funds are going to be distributed, as that's still kind of a work in progress, but being cohort one, we're looking at $1.5 million on the table right there. So I think it's going to be a huge benefit, and this is just the start to that bridge into Medicaid and starting to get the state to pay for some of those medications that our current taxpayers are paying right now.
So just for some background, that's always been an issue with regional or county facilities, is that when they're incarcerated, their Medicaid stops, and then they have to go back. When they leave, they have to reply. They have to go apply again, and then that's a delay. And so you have people that are released without the medication. I mean, that's been ongoing for, I don't know how many years, a lot of years. Yeah, and so this new program is going to allow to bridge that gap until they get.
Absolutely, and understanding that, you know, some of the difficulties that we're facing with the recovery center and some of these monies, it only makes sense to start, you know, getting ahead of this and being in that cohort one and doing everything we can at the jail to help out the overall county. So I think this is a good step in that direction.
And the medication that MCAP infuse, or that's the company, right?
They're the distributor.
The distributor.
Yep.
And what does this medication do?
Sublocade is a injectable medication similar to Suboxone, which a lot of people know for opioid addiction. Rather than taking it daily or being dosed daily in the jail, this is a 30-day injection. So it's a pilot program. We're going to figure out who's getting this. We obviously want it to be in the citizens. We're not going to give that to any of our contracts or anything like that. So people that are leaving into the community, this is going to give them that 30-day window. If we give it to them, you know, 10 days before they get released, that's going to give them that 20 days to get housing, to get their Medicaid going, to get to a follow-up appointment at a opioid center, you know. So it really does a lot of good things for the community.
And the medical staff is the one in the jail that decides who?
Between IDO Options, who is our contractor for our MAP program, I would be working with the with the providers. Obviously, I'm no medical expert, so you know, utilize their expertise in that matter, but work with them on a program to see who's going to get this. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are a little gun shy with injections now with the COVID mandates that the state did. So maybe this isn't going to be for everyone. The benefit is we can purchase this medication and it's got a 3-year shelf life on it. So we can have it on hand for those that are wanting to really.
And the funds are coming from grants that we already have.
From the healthcare authority.
Right.
So my goal is to purchase $180,000 of this medication before June 30th. That was kind of a rush and why we had to get this going real quick. And then we foresee, my finance department foresees, that we'll have that same rough estimate, $170,000 to $180,000 for next year too. So we can only build from there. And then by that time, by July 1st of 2025, we should have some money's coming in from the reentry.
Yep.
So
Okay.
No, I think it's a great program. You guys, it's you guys did an outstanding job. You're being proactive versus reactive. It's good for the county. It's good for everybody going out of the jail and stuff like that. So it's a win-win for everything, everybody. Yep. So good job.
And I appreciate the grants. You guys, you know, looking forward to help this out and stuff too, without, you know, playing solitaire on the computer. You're looking for grants to help out the community and stuff. So it helps save the money. And so, yeah, no, I agree. And a couple times I might stop by and see you guys at the jail. And the one time I stopped by, that guy was having a weird reaction and stuff, you know. And so I completely get helping these guys out in the jail. And hopefully they go to jail for a year, 3 or 5 or 10 years, but keeps them off the streets with this medication down the road and stuff, hopefully.
Absolutely. And yeah, we've seen a drastic decrease in overdoses and stuff like that. Well, I mean, we got Narcan in the facility, and with these programs in place, not only the overdoses, but the close ones, and the reduction in ambulance transports and everything. I mean, it's huge. And, you know, it's a testament to these programs and these medications do work, and it saves us money.
And I don't think, you know, we get reports, but I don't think the public understands how many inmates or how many people within custody actually are taking some type of medication and treatment for this. It's a very, very high percentage. It's amazing to me. So I think, like I said, once again, you guys being proactive, this is a good thing.
So hopefully that recovery center defers a lot of those people.
It'll definitely help.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to... You have a motion?
I have a long motion.
Okay.
I will get this gentleman's last name right. I move to authorize the chairman or chairman pro tem to sign the attached MMCAP infused membership application agreement and hereby authorize payment to Henry Schein Inc. utilizing the Washington Department of Enterprise contract number 19022 for the purchase of MOUD injectables to be offered to individuals scheduled to be released from incarceration who are participating in the MOD treatment program within the jail. I don't know if I said that all right, but
congratulations. I think you broke the record on the longest motion. I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Did you get that, Amanda? Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes.
Thanks. Thank you.
Ayes have it. The motion passes. Okay, other business. Anyone have any investigations to report or anything going on? No? No?
I'm not in the paper either.
We're doing okay in Benton County. Okay, no other business, gentlemen?
No.
I just want to say we did have a group of people in last week for the ECA Energy Community Alliance on new nuclear. It's the third one in the series. This is the third year we've had that, and it's just bringing in people that are in the new nuclear industry with regulators and working on new technologies and how we're going to fund those and what communities can do to participate in those new technologies. Commissioner Alvarez was there too, but we had it was a good turnout. Yep. Over almost 300 people. So yeah, it was a good turnout, good session. So I just want to let everyone know what was going on at the Three Rivers Convention Bureau. That was good. So anything?
Yes. One thing I'd like to add, just for the public, all three of us individually had the meeting with Atlas Agro last week, and that was fascinating. I'm super excited. I think, again, a billion-dollar project?
Billion-dollar.
And for just the local farmers and stuff, it's going to save tons of money on shipping and everything. So I'm excited for that to get rocking and rolling. It's a big project, but it's going to eventually down the road. They were talking a little too high tech for me on the how they do the fertilizer, but it was pretty fascinating. Mm-hmm. But saving on the shipping, even local Oregon, Idaho area and stuff.
Within 100-mile radius, he said he would think that would be his market.
This would be the first plant.
Yeah. And then down the road, Brazil. But anyways, for the public to know, it was pretty fascinating. So hopefully it gets rock and rolling and helps out the farmers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they produce there is a better acting nitrate.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to sit in the soil because
mm-hmm.
we got nitrogen problems in some of our communities around here. So this hopefully lets the farmers use the better stuff. With that, then we have an executive session coming up. I guess it might be some few minutes, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss with the board, the staff, and
Okay, 30 minutes. We'll go. It is now 9:30. We'll go at ease for 30 minutes for an executive session on potential litigation. Thanks for everyone attending. You too, Mr. Atkins. Okay, we're out of executive session at 10 a.m. No decisions were made. Anything else, Mr. Brown?
Discuss pending litigation. No decisions were made.
Okay. With that, any further business, gentlemen?
Potential litigation.
Well, okay. With that, then the meeting is adjourned. Everyone have a good rest of the week.